And one is the last one you have recalled, how it has to be implemented. Another one is the format of the information via matrices, or if someone has a different proposal. I am in favor of matrices. And then timelines and what minimize the effort while maximizing the outcome so that the colleagues involved in analysis and physics can start using it. So after saying this, I have a suggestion from my side, namely to factorize the discussion in the order that you prefer, Thomas, to address each of these points one by one, trying to listen to the various proposals and come to a shared and wise consensus. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I think it would be helpful, unless people, if we want to departmentalize it, that we start a little bit with the question and leave the format to the end and start with the question, how we, where at what place we actually want to implement it. Do we want to implement it within EIC Recon? And I think Oscar had suggested this, and then others said just leave it as an afterburner. That gives us more flexibility. So, Salvatore, please go ahead, start.
Oh, just a quick comment, Thomas, that I would really favor having it in the EIC Recon. And I remember talking with Wouter and Marcus that implementing lookup tables or whatever else, but even for lookup tables, it should be not a huge effort on the part of the software and computing to implement for us. And this will simplify a lot because users will use, we are 100% sure that they use the same way that PID is reconstructing to the into a matrix thing into the simulation, and there are no bugs around. And I think it's everything can be straightforward. So just my two cents.
Okay, I think Marcus has his hand up. Marcus?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that this is really simple to implement these lookup tables. So that for, I think for each detector system, and we have four of them, this would be the order of an hour to implement this, because one needs a factory which is more or less existing code, and then one needs to define a resource in a framework. Which then is the configuration file or input file where the data for the lookup table is. This has an advantage. So you pointed this as a con. It's only a temporary solution. And no, because these algorithms with the lookup table would already allow us to have the data and algorithmic flow for the PID. And so you could think about a scenario where for one PID system, you still use the lookup tables. For the other one, you have a real reconstruction algorithm in, and then you could already ex use the existing data and algorithmic flow. So this would be something which would be forward-looking and which would allow us to make progress, where the other solution would just put us back 3 years ago during the DPUP process. So I have a strong opinion here, and I'm very glad to hear from Sal about his preference.
So, Marcus, can I ask you in this context? So you said it's easy to implement, you know, as the essentially the lookup table and the call to the lookup table. But the data model, is there are hooks already for the PID, and what information has to be stored with the track on the PID?
Yes, this all exists.
Okay.
So this is ready to be filled. There
Okay.
is one complexity, but this also needs to be solved in the afterburner, and that is maybe an additional topic on your to-do list. And that is, how do we actually combine the information? Because
Yes.
when we talked the last time, we have lookup table for each of the PID systems. So we know how to do this. But now, how does the analyzer combine the information?
Yes.
I had some discussion with people about this. And one possibility to do this is to say, depending on the phase space, you select one PID system, and then you base your result on one PID system. But the advantage is, if we have it in EIC Recon, then people can also already start thinking about how we actually work to something like joint likelihoods or joint probabilities for the PID response.
I think this joint likelihood issue is something which was addressed in GINS, in this approach in Etcher. I'm not familiar with that, but if somebody is online who is more familiar with that approach, he should speak up. So,
you want to talk about this now or later? I think we are still on the EIC Reconverse after Werner, so maybe GINS shows up. Otherwise, I can speak to it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the question how we combine different things, but it's fine. So I don't want to cut this discussion short, but I hear that there is quite some favoring of what Marcus and Sal has suggested. Are there any opinions which are going in a different direction? Can I then just call this a consensus? And I think we go with that if everybody agrees. Again, if somebody has a different opinion on that, please please speak up. Yeah, Chandra.
I just have a question on this EIC Recon thing. The question is, what information you will be needing to get this LUT from the EIC Recon? So you need the like likelihood to be implemented at this TID algorithm level, or how will it be done physically?
Yeah, that is what we come next to, the format.
Oh, okay.
We just think the format defines weights, likelihood, whatever, what we have to decide next. Mm-hmm. Unless somebody wants to make a suggestion right now. Okay. So if there is no objection, then Marcus, I think how do we take it from there now? That means that you would kind of more or less implement the hooks.
So I think we will for sure do one example implementation to show how this works for picking one PID system. If we get these lookup tables fast, I'm confident that we get this in for the March campaign. So the February campaign has already started, so there's no chance to get it in there. But we for sure could get it in for the March campaign, provided we get this lookup tables over the course of the next 2 weeks. And then I think it if people then say, hey, anyway, wanted to learn how to do a factory, it would be, of course, appreciated if the other three PID systems have simply follow the example and do it themselves. But otherwise, we can also finish this. I mean, if we have one example, modifying for the other system is not a trick thing. I think what we need to clarify is what goes into what we call the lookup table. In particular, what the fields in the lookup table actually mean, and then discuss this question about combining this information, possibly if you're actually able to do this based on lookup tables.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move now to the second part, and that is the format. Chandra, please go ahead.
Sorry, I had another question this thing. The point is that how much you will need on the PID algorithm for this lookup table? This was my question, actually, because for the reach, and I mean, there you do not have a such, I mean, we have the reconstruction, the Cherenkov angle reconstruction, the ring definition. But for instance, if you have to have, in order to build this lookup table, a likelihood, it will be a lot of time consuming effort. For instance, this log likelihood like things, it's probably 1 month is not enough. I mean, so probably n sigma separation and translate it to these things can be done, but this is I'm not sure that this is feasible in 1 month.
Okay, so you are favoring then more, let's say, a simple unnormalized weight between the different hypotheses.
Yes, something like that, like we were doing at the Delphes time.
Okay. I mean, the issue, of course, yeah, okay. I see that.
Oscar. I mean, what is your, this is a question for Chandra. What is your, in your standalone simulation? I mean, you need to have some sort of output for performance. So what is that? Can you not easily transfer this or calculate this into either this like migration matrix or something else? I mean, and sigma separation would also work. This could even can also be somewhat converted. If you just assume it's Gaussian, you can still convert it into everything else.
Yes. So we were doing it there, because currently we don't need to do it in the standalone. We can do everything at the EIC-VCon level. The point is that this n sigma is translated into a probability. So assuming this Gaussian hypothesis, as you were saying, but this was done in this Delphes package. So, but if your this LUT has to be computed with a likelihood-based algorithm or something like that, so that can be really challenging. So we have this weight, we can compute from this n sigma to translate it to a probability, which is a normalized probability, but it is just based on a pure estimation of the Cherenkov angle, but not on any PID PID algorithm, sophisticated PID algorithm. So that is the missing part. So we have a definition of the angle, so we can compute a definition of the ring. We have the resolution, so we can compute how far one hypothesis is from the another, and we can translate it to a probability. But this is not what a PID algorithm should look like. But if we want to integrate it to the EIC-VCon, why to take this effort? For instance, we have an already working system which we know, and things like that.
Okay.
This is my concern.
Yeah, I taken. Sylvia, please go ahead.
No, my comment here is generic and very simple. Our final goal, as you, Thomas, have correctly recalled at the beginning, is that build up a complete reconstruction to be inserted in EIC Recon. And to this extent, we have to provide something valid for the present progress of analysis and physics, but it should not absorb too much workforce. Otherwise, the final goal gets farther and farther. So I just would like that also this parameter is included in our evaluation. Thank you.
Okay. So if I now go back to the formats, so I think right now there are two on the market which are not too different. And all talk about to provide a probability for, let's say, a particle of type I to be either of type I or J or K or L. And I think do we agree that we are talking about kaon, pion, proton, and electron? Joe?
Yes, I mean, that I thought
important to include electron in there because last time we didn't talk about
Yeah, that's
electrons.
right. I thought about that too. I over E would be. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And the second is we should include the no answer option as well as Oscar had in his table. That's important
Okay.
because like if you miss the Dirk bar, then we need
Then you
to
miss it. That's right.
somehow make sure that we give a reasonable answer. The other point to it is, and I think this is the right time to ask this question, maybe not the right time to discuss it, is do we include veto mode operation for the ridge detectors, or do we only want positive ID? This is a fundamental thing.
Yeah.
Do we want like for Dirk, do we want to extend the momentum coverage down to 0.2, 0.3 MeV, or do we not?
That is a good question. We had this discussion when the time of flight was on the table, right?
So we can do this, but of course we would need to do it, transparently for all the
That in
detectors.
your case would require a different table format, wouldn't it?
Not really.
Okay. I think it would be, if we want to squeeze out the best performance for our TDR, and we certainly do because it matters this time, I think we should maybe include that. Sylvia?
Sorry, for the list of particles, I believe that there are momentum regions in which it would be important to have also the muon because it can otherwise enlarge artificially, enlarge, make worse artificially the resolution for pions. Of course, this is not at saturation, but at intermediate momenta. Thank you.
Marcus?
I have a question for my understanding. Will the Cherenkov detectors help us a lot with lepton-hadron separation? If not, would it not make sense to separate it and say, we have one set of PID algorithms which separate the leptons or hadrons or identify leptons and hadrons. And then when we know it's a hadron, and for that, the calorimeters, for instance, will be very important to separate electrons and no momentum pions. And then when we know it's a hadron, then we go to the Cherenkov detectors. And for that, we then use, we only then have pion, kaon, proton. Misidentified.
I could answer that, but I see that Sylvia has her hands up, so I let
No,
her go first.
after you,
Yeah,
Thomas.
so Marcus, yeah. So the PID detectors are actually pretty powerful in enhancing the proton over L, the pi over A. They do that in a lower momentum range, which is of course very valuable because this is also where the calorimeter is probably not the strongest. So this is, I think, complements the and adds to the electron ID substantially, and I think also especially Dirk and also and the Riches had worked quite a little bit to optimize that. But I let Sylvia go next.
You have said, Thomas, all what I had in mind to say. I would only add that this contribution of the PID devices to electron pion separation was well underlined already in the Yellow Report.
Yeah, so Marcus, yeah, so the answer is yes. So right now I have the matrix is growing, so I have muon, kaon, pion, proton, electron, and zero, which you of course could express by having zero in all hypotheses, but this is a bit weird. I don't know, maybe that's a fashion. So now we have to talk, still continue to talk about the lookup table format. So are there any opinion, any strong feelings about which path to go? I have a question to Marcus about the matrix you have. Is there code on this related from Hermes which could be used, or is that just too trivial and it would not have any advantage if one would go this way?
I would not reuse the code from Hermes. So implementing that is something where if we would have these inverse P matrices as input, everything would be already ready. So there's not much which needs to be done. So it ultimately comes to what the analyzer need, because so if you go with this approach, then you at the end do not have a hadron of a specific type. You have a hadron which is which has a weight as pion, as kaon, as proton, and that means in your analysis you actually sum up all of these weights when you then calculate a cross section, or you calculate a cross section asymmetry. So it's then an exercise the physics analyzer has to do, and it's important to point out that when you have these weights, then also your statistical uncertainty depends on these weights, and you need to make sure that you calculate your statistical uncertainty correctly. Because so what you will do is when you, let's say you make the exercise, you count your number of pions, then you have one track where the weight is .1. For the next one, the weight might be -0.1. And you sum all of this up to get the correct number of pions. And so it's ultimately then the analyzer who has to take care about that. From the reconstruction point of view, this is not a lot of extra work.
But isn't that also true for the approach from Rosie and Sal? Because here you also get a probability. So given I have a particle, I know that originally it is a pion. But it is reconstructed as, you know, could be kaon, pion, proton, electron, muon, and I get for each one a probability. And also then, you know, everything is left to the user. Oscar, please go ahead.
There's the unmute button. My understanding of the slide that you're currently showing is that you have this table that gives you a probability, but then you roll it out. You Monte Carlo it out for a given event. So for each track, you know, based on the lookup table, this track, which is a true pion, is 90% chance to be identified to reconstruct it as a pion, and 10% chance to be reconstructed as a kaon. So you roll the dice and say the reconstruction result of this one is, depending on the roll of the dice, pion or kaon. So you have a parameter reconstructed PID for this one is a pion. So you are resolving this probability matrix by Monte Carloing it out for every individual track. And if that
not
is
necessarily
what...
you can also say, you know, I set my threshold at 70%, everybody who's over 70% wins.
No, you can't do that. If you do that, you get 100% perfect PID, because in the case where the phase space is 90% pion,
because it's always the same. That's true.
You will always get the same, and then you have perfect PID. You can't
do
that.
Yeah, you're right. So, but
this is, of course, this is the simplest approach, but it makes certain things very difficult. It makes combination impossible, because afterwards you only have a single information. The only combination you can do is, I know in this phase space this detector is the best, so I use this one, I ignore everything else.
Yeah.
But for the intermediate step, and for the sake of having something that works and can be used by the analyzers, for the moment, maybe this is the, you know, the most reasonable way forward, because every scheme that puts additional burden on the analyzers really understanding what they're doing, such as what Marcus has described, where you have weights and they can be negative and you need to sum up to get the true number of pions in the event, etc., the best estimate of number of pions, just explaining this and making sure that everybody uses this right seems to be almost out of the scope of the timeline that we have here.
So I cannot see hands at the moment. Sorry, Sylvia, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I would like to make one step further in what Oscar had said. I agree with him that the way to use this table is according to the example he has provided. Now, let's suppose that we have for a certain phase space the outcome of two PID devices. And I give a numerical example just to help myself in explaining the concept. You can make the example as complex as you want. Let's suppose that both have a 10% probability for kaon and 90% for pion. And let's suppose that we decide to combine them with equal weight. At this point, when you roll the dice, you do it combining the two probability, namely the probability to have a K is 1%.
True.
This looks to me an easy, if not certainly not perfect, but probably a reasonable way of using the information from more than one device.
So I'm not sure how we move on now.
Yeah, let me try to summarize. In order to do this, what we need is for a given slice of phase space, this migration matrix for all of the detector subsystems. Now we heard from Chandra that this might be difficult, but Chandra, do you understand? I mean, I think it's understandable what would be required from this. Do you think you could provide this for your subsystem, or do you think this is still, say, too difficult or a lot of work? I simply cannot judge on that.
I can provide an n sigma separation for momentum and eta. And if this can be translated to any probability, it's fine, right? Because I
Yes,
cannot.
and sigma can be translated into this, I believe.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I know it. I mean, I was
Yeah,
saying,
of
like,
course you
if
can.
in the IC recon level, if it can be translated.
So, Joe, I saw you had your hands up sh briefly and then took them down.
Yeah, sorry. I think it was to the point. What phase space are we using? Because that's a practical question, but not unimportant one. What do we include in it? Do we basically obvious ones are momentum and either polar angle or solar rapidity, but do we also do a charge dependence? Do we do an azimuthal dependence? What do we think we need for this lookup table? How? What's the multiplicity of our dimensions?
If I could answer, I thought that of course the momentum and then the polar and the azimuthal angle, so theta phi. And as you said, instead of theta, we can also use rapidity. I mean, one is as good as the other. Now, I thought these three would do. I mean, I fully understand that then this is an issue for secondaries, but I'm wondering if that is our main issue right now.
Sylvia has her hand up. Just
Yes, well, my maybe naive suggestion about which are the parameters for which to prepare these probability matrices is the one already mentioned by Joe, momentum and eta. I would add also the azimuthal angle. This because there are along the azimuth discontinuity. A very obvious one is the fact that the Dirac bands do not cover completely the 360 degrees, there are small gaps between one bar and another bar. The Dirice has a structure which is repeating the same basic concept six times, and when you move from one of these six sectors to the next one, you can also have an azimuthal effect. The PF reach is more homogeneous, but around the beam pipe, so for large negative eta, the acceptance is different because the structure of the beam pipe is non-symmetric, and this has a reflector on the acceptance. Therefore, my favorite option, if people agree, would be momentum, eta, and phi.
Would charge help? The sign, at least?
I think for a dirt it would, because I can imagine that if you're at a fixed azimuthal angle, that one particle might just miss a bar or hit a bar. So for me, that's convenient. When we do a study, I don't think we've ever done our performance maps charge dependent. We've looked at both charges, but we never really compared it in detail. But it would be at least helpful, I think.
So as Sylvia says, P, eta, phi, and then we just add Q.
Yeah. And may I add something? The input which I would like to understand from the colleagues engaged in analysis and physics is a rough idea on the granularity. Because one says, okay, one parameter is momentum, and therefore, how many momentum ranges it would be nice to consider? Or do you leave this to the judgment of the detector people? I think this is relevant.
It, of course, also goes into the size of the tables, I guess.
Absolutely, and the effort that people put in it.
Charlotte?
Yes, so just one thing before I answer Sylvia's question, just for general knowledge, we've seen at Hermes that also the multiplicity affects the PID. Now, I don't think this is needed for now, but in the future, when we really do do real analysis, we should very likely take this into account. Now, for Sylvia's question, I think it's rather a detector issue, because if in a certain momentum range you see that there's a lot of variation of the PID response, then there it has to be finer binning. While if in other momentum ranges you see it's not as fluctuating as much, you can go with a coarser binning. So I'm not sure that we can respond to this question. In addition, we usually always work in PT, but we usually, indeed, when you do PID corrections, you use these angles and momenta. So I think it's more detector issue.
Okay. I think that's a reasonable approach. Just a question to Marcus about the size. So I know we are in the era of terabytes and petabytes, but are there any limitations on your side?
No.
No. Okay. So let me ask you, Alexander just wrote me, he wants to show a couple of slides. Alexander, you want to, this goes into this context here, I guess.
Well, yes, I'm just thinking how the stuff which I put together maps onto this discussion. So maybe we can.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Discuss this together. So this is back to, let me find. So this is back to what we discussed last time. So it's a bit more technical details. So what was done for Athena and also for the PID review in March. So I remind you that we are producing this either Delphi's tables or custom root file format. And in principle, so except for the phi dependency, at least for pfreach, I see that I could still, or we could still use the same machinery. So the question is how to map this onto a format which will be selected later. And then presumably this is going along the lines of what Chandra was saying. So because the same exactly code was used for dreach in the Athena times. So this is a link to the repository. So one can look the sources up. So it's nothing to be really proud of, but it's a working code. So the logic behind this all is that each mass hypothesis is just associated with a Gaussian peak in the measurement space, so which can be the time of flight or it can be track level Cherenkov angle. So and then, so back to what I think Oscar was describing. So if you have two Gaussians, so then there is somewhere a middle point where the probabilities are the same, and then it's a matter of calculating the tails of the distributions, so the mutual, how it is called, impurities, essentially of one Gaussian into the other one. So indeed, we produce these tables for hadron and electron pion cases differently. And at the end of the day, so it was just error function calculation, and the math in the code might need to be verified, but it's pretty basic stuff. We ignored Cherenkov statistics, photostatistics for Cherenkov detectors. So this is important. So in practice, this means that if there was a single photon so close to the threshold, so it was still assumed as a valid Gaussian. So and it is a Gaussian distribution at the end. But this was mitigated by setting threshold by hand. So it also can be done. And the output of all this, so here you can click and see how it looks for ETOF, for instance. So it is either this Delphi's format or a root custom root format. So back to what we discussed last time. So we assumed indeed 100% efficiency, but it is likely that one can produce such tables or any other tables, I don't know, in other format, for few fixed numbers of efficiency values, and then people can pick up purity when they like. If root file output was used, so we never tried this out because of lack of time, but then variable efficiencies could have been used as well. So the practical cases, and again, you can see the links. So it was time of flight in Athena, so where time was just time between primary vertex and detection point. And this task can be solved analytically, and I really doubt that one can do it much better with a full simulation, except for, you know, fine effects like azimuthal inefficiencies and things like that. So then you simply calculate your Gaussians and produce output, and the way it was supposed to be used in Athena was just use the file in fast simulation, so it's native Delphi's format. Pretty much the same for the jerk, but the strategy was different back then, so we were using a root file with histograms which were describing resolution in kinematic beams as provided by the jerk group. So, and then the rest is pretty much the same stuff. So you assume certain momentum and from tracking, so you know what is the tracker angular resolution, so which comes in as parameterization from a full GAN simulation, and get essentially the same TCL format file output. So what is mostly of interest for us now, for us with Chandra, I think, is pfreach slash dreach case. So, and this was done differently for the match review. So of course, in this case, the quantity is Cherenkov angle in aerogel, in our case of pfreach. So one can take track level resolutions from a Gaussian fit to, so wait a second, so this must be wrong. Yes, okay, fine. Track level Cherenkov angle resolutions were taken from fits to a standalone simulation, so this was not analytic. So you just simulate given momentum and pseudo rapidity. So you see your Cherenkov angle reconstructed with particular resolution, like 1.5 milliradian, and this is what comes into the table. And you can see this the example script. If you click on this link, so you can see that it is different. So it looks differently. So and then, of course, if you know refractive index and things like mass hypothesis and angular resolution, so you can complement the output table with this information. But then we used it differently. So this was imported in PCIMC data analysis. And what you can see here is an example plot how the pion suppression would look like using PTA events. So I'm not sure we ever got there to use full simulation. So what is presented here is certainly just a loop through the plain PTA file, I think. You can also look up once the file will be uploaded to the page. So you can also look up these slides in the presentation for GDI. So where a use case was shown with typical software, which one would use to import the binary file. So it was a root file in this case. And this link shows you how an import script can look like. So I understand that out of all the implementation options which are listed here, so people tend to implement something either from scratch or just adopt a format in the EIC Recon, which is fine, I think. So what we will do, we will just adopt essentially the output of this existing software to the recommended format. So I would say that in principle, this would probably be the second option for PFRidge. So where we just use pod.io or whatever recommended format, link it against against this software and just produce a third type of output. It should work, but it needs to be verified. So the question, of course, is do we go with the probability? So we go with this maximum likelihoods, and it seems so to just export smearing matrices is pretty easy, should be, because this is what is exported now. So if we need something like likelihoods, so this needs probably some work. But in principle, this is also possible. So the other two options which I describe here seems to be excluded based on the on what we discussed so far. So, but I think this is the way we will go with PFRidge if this turns out to be possible. That's all.
Okay, thank you. Marcus, you have your hand up?
Yeah, I just wanted to remind, we just made a decision earlier this meeting that we go with implementing this in EIC Recon. So what we need is very simple, and that is we agree now in this meeting on a format for the lookup tables, and then the what needs to be provided by each of the groups, including the PFRID, are these lookup tables, nothing else. I hope this clarifies, Alexander, what is needed from you.
Yes, but I clarified pretty much the same 2 minutes ago, right?
No, you absolutely didn't. But I think we should define the format of the lookup table, and then this lookup table needs to be an ASCII file, and that is then provided to us.
ASCII file. Okay, that's even easier than pod.io, but the strategy is the same. So we would use exactly the same code to calculate migration or smearing or likelihoods, and adjust this to the selected format. That's fine.
Right.
Okay, so since we are closing in on the hour, I really would like to kind of. So, what we have so far is we have the kinematic binning is in momentum, eta, phi, and charge. The binning is up to the DSCs, depending on how much variation they have. We want to look at muon, kaon, pi, and proton, electron. Now, again, looking back at what is on the table, the thing which Rosie and Sal suggested as well, what was suggested by Marcus from the Hermes, essentially requires everyone exactly the same, namely to provide some comfort of probability for a particle of type I to be of type J, where I can be J, of course. Marcus, from your point of view, what is the easiest to implement?
No preference. So for the implementation, it only matters to have a very clear understanding what information is provided in the lookup tables, and then what is the recommendation to use that information to the analysis. So the and for the later point, this was the discussion which I think we would like to follow what Oscar then concluded, and that is that we roll the dice, and then each hadron has a given type based on the information, and that is what we provide for the analyzer. So
Okay, but
so
I think, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Just to summarize, I think everything can be provided, but it is really essential that we are clear what information is provided as input from the PID systems, what information are we sending to the physics analysis, and then also to what extent we are able and we are not able to combine this information to the analyzer to what have some combined response. So I think these are the questions where we clearly then need to document that to the collaboration that people know how to what to do with this information.
Sylvia, please.
Yes, I have three short points. So one is that about the format, everyone seems to say important is to have a common format. So I believe that the format will be fixed by the template example that has been promised, which simply means that this is a somewhat urgent step. This is about the format. I don't think we have to discuss the format any longer. People providing the example will be clever enough, I am 100% sure. So this is one point. The second point is that I'm very glad that it seems that in an easy way we are reaching some consensus. It would be nice to write it down, the conclusion, in any mail to this community.
I
It
will.
will be a reference that, thank you so much, Thomas. I think it will be helpful. And the last things is automatically solved because I see Salvatore raising his hand. And in fact, before really concluding, I would like to hear from our analysis coordinator if they are happy with the direction that we are seems that we are adopting, because it has to be used by them and collaborators. Thank you.
Sal, you're muted if you talk.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, so thanks, Sylvia. I think we are happy I just wanted to stress that when we provided that proposal of the table with probability, actually we had in mind exactly what Oscar was explaining. So we roll the dice, we give the analyzer something which is a kaon or a pion, but we know which probability, you know, to pick when we roll the dice. So I think for the TDR, this is the simplest thing we can do for moving fast forward. And I think, just to clarify, that is what we had in mind. I also would like to hear from somebody eyeball down in the analysis, like Charlotte here or someone else from that group, a final opinion from them too, if they want. And I think personally, I'm happy with the direction we are going.
Very good. Charlotte, you care to reply?
Yes, I'm very sorry though, because my computer broke down when Oscar was giving the explanation. There is one thing I haven't understood yet. So every particle will have a likelihood to be, a particle will have a likelihood to be of a certain type, like the likelihood to have a pion, a kaon, a proton, etc. What I did not understand is the last part where you say you roll the dice and you only provide one number to the analyzer, or do you provide all numbers for all type of particles?
So
in this
cell?
So I thought we provide one type. But again, if Charlotte, if you need actually to have probabilities instead and say, okay, this is an electron 70% of the times, and you just apply cuts on based on that probability, it's just a little bit more tricky when you do the analysis, thinking about we have a few months and you know, everybody should be up to speed to what to do. So that's actually what I asked your opinion, what you think about this. You could prefer probabilities, or you could prefer to see kaon pions and to be aware that sometimes the identification is not perfect and one can bleed into the other.
Yes, so usually what we always do is just we have a particle and then we always apply weights in the analysis for a particle to be of a certain type. So one particle will be a pion with a certain weight, a kaon with a certain weight, etc. That's the usual standard way that we use. Now, if you tell me it's really not possible, we're not gonna, you know, we will live with what you give us, but usually that's what we do. That's the way we usually go.
May I have not understood, Charlotte, in the sense that let's suppose tomorrow you have real data. At that point, you run all your reconstruction codes that will be more refined than today. But the net result of that is not a probability, is an identification, wrong or right. The full machinery will tell you this is a kaon, for example. Why it is so relevant for you to have it in terms of probability? Probably there is some important aspect that I'm not able to get.
So usually in the analysis, in the final stage, you don't get this answer, this is a kaon, because you never know it for 100%. You just get the answer, this is a kaon with a certain probability. And at the same time, it could be a pion with a certain probability and a proton with a certain probability. And so we use these probabilities to weight our event. And so the same particle will give you, let's say, three type of cross sections or symmetries every time weighted with the corresponding probability of ion.
Okay, understood. Fine, thank you.
So there are three hands up. Let me go in order. Alexander.
Yeah, I think it is maybe towards what Charlotte was saying, because typically you want also a quality parameter. So maybe not in the first iteration, but at least the foresees this in the former. For the future. and the relatively easy connection between fast simulation and eventually full Cherenkov angle reconstruction, for instance. So it can probably be, you know, just generating a Cherenkov angle according to a known Gaussian distribution and picking up the value, which would then be propagated into the PID machinery. So then if you know this Cherenkov angle, so this mimics what you will be getting from the data reconstruction at the end, or from, you know, full Jeanne simulation with the photons. But at the same time, you can, based on this number, calculate what is the quality of the PID assessment, because it will certainly be dependent on this reconstruction angle, because it defines where on the Gaussian curve you are sitting, actually. And based on that, one can calculate this quality parameter and, let's say, be able to get high purity samples.
Marcus.
Yeah, so what Charlotte was describing is that rich unfolding, which I also had in my slides from last week. The as I mentioned also earlier in the discussion today, so the software is ready to represent that. So if the analyzer would like to have that, then we can do this. It's then only a question to the various PID systems if they can provide these purity matrices based on their standalone simulations.
And there is Sal. Sal, please go ahead.
Yeah, I just was thinking that what Charlotte was asking can also be answered by providing, once you roll the dice and say, like, okay, a kyon is a kyon or is a pion, then you provide the corresponding probability to be a kyon or to be a pion, depending what the rolling of dice pick as the quality parameter. So you can provide one more thing to the analyzer. And so, for example, when we roll the dice, a pion was a pion in that bin, and we know that the probability was 85%, that information can be passed to the analyzer too. Otherwise, we can go the way that Marcus is saying for the unfolding. I'm also agnostic about that.
Very good. Charlotte, you have the last word.
Thank you. So me personally, I would already be very happy with what Sal proposes, because, well, we are very happy to have PID information. So I would not be unhappy though to ask the other people from the CDIS group if they agree with me, because it's a bit of a subjective one, but I would be already happy with this if the other one is too complicated. So I like this quality parameter and one probability.
Very good. I think we got it. So thank you, everyone. We passed the hour now. I will, as promised, write this up and circulate it among you. And then we can iterate if I made a silly mistake, of course. And then hopefully we can start. So my understanding is now, Marcus, that you guys will kind of create a template example, which we then can, you know, pass along, and then the groups have some guidelines on where to put it and what to do, and I will write down, you know, all the decisions we made, and then yeah, thank you everyone. I think it was...
Before we hang up, Thomas, one last question. So does this then also mean that for the template example, that the format of the lookup table is up to software and computing, or
I would say within, yeah, let me look. What is very clear, because in both cases, if it's a matrix or if the other format, it is essentially what the groups have to provide is a probability of a particle of type A to be recognized as type A or B or C or D or E or F, right? That they have to do, no matter what. And how you then pack it, I think, is probably up to you, yes.
Okay, that works. Naively, I would have thought that someone from the PID, the PID systems provide that, and we simply work with whatever format.
That is also fine, but I have not heard any strong opinion from anyone on the detailed format. But it is clear, I mean, if I look at your elements of your matrix, or if I look at the what Rosie and Sal had put down, that essentially this is the, if it boils down to an atom, this is what you have to provide no matter what, right?
Okay.
P of IJ of some kinematic.
Okay.
But if somebody feels strong, he can, you know, still speak up when I send this around. And okay, are we good? Looks like. So thanks everybody for joining, and have a great weekend.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thanks for sharing the discussion, Thomas.
Bye.
Indeed. Bye bye.